Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor Terrell begins a new series entitled, How to Live Victorious in a Hostile World. This message is entitled Part 1, The Power of God. At the end of today's recording, I'll be telling you how you can obtain a copy of today's sermon. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on May 28th, 2006. As of Wednesday, I had not the foggiest clue what God was going to give me to preach. I got this here Thursday night, and we're going to be talking about how to live victorious in a hostile world. Today, I want to speak to you about the power of God. Let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now for this day you have given us, this Memorial Day. And first of all, Father God, we want to thank you for the men and women that gave their lives that we have freedom in America today. Father God, for hundreds of years, men and women sacrificed not only their lives, but their families. They sacrificed their farms, everything they had, Lord, their jobs, to make sure that this nation would be a free nation under God. And today, Lord, we have inherited this. We don't have to fight for it. We just got to be able to keep it. And we know to keep it, we got to walk holy with you. So we thank you, Father God, for this Memorial Weekend. We thank you, Father God, now for opening the Word of God to us, that we shall hear, read, and understand, and apply it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First, we're going to look upon the world conditions. And the world we live in is certainly not the Garden of Eden. We know that. It's a hostile world where Satan freely roams, seeking someone to devour. In 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, we read this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Resist steadfast in the faith. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I want you to think about this. You wake up in the morning. If you can survive the home life without losing your joy, you get out of the door, you drive down to work, wherever you're going to go, and if you notice this, that the devil will attack your emotions. The emotions. We get offended. It is easy to get offended, isn't it? So here you are driving down, go to work, whatever it is. You're coming up to a traffic light, and there's no one ahead of you. You slow down, and here comes this jerk from the wrong side. And you just have to go in front of you. Just has to go in front of you. And slam the brakes, and you slam the brakes, you come up, and there he sits first. Now, the devil says, get offended. That guy, look what he did. And the devil says, give me your joy. Just hand over your joy, and I will give you some anger. Right? Well, these are the things happening every day, so, you know. And as we were driving around yesterday, my wife and I, and we had a little small difficulty with different things we were doing. And then I sat down, I said to myself, this day, 3,500, that was a number yesterday, have died in an earthquake. And here we are getting offended over things that in eternity will mean nothing. I mean, you get up in the morning, you put on a nice shirt, whatever it is, tie, and you try to eat a little tomato, one of these little cherry tomatoes. I don't know if you've ever done that. And you know, I did that a few days ago. Tried to bite it off, half of it, you know, the other half went to my shirt. I just put a cream on it. And I said, I can't believe this. Well, praise God, we got a washing machine. Just take it off, take everything up, wipe off, you know, get a new shirt. No reason being upset. We got to learn to control our emotions. I shared this with you. Some of you might not. Boxing was big when my brother and I was growing up in the 40s and 50s. I have another century ago. And I learned this, that when you have a boxer, he wants to antagonize his opponent. It is not good enough to be able to throw punches, but if he can make him mad by sticking out his tongue, calling him names in the ring, and if the other guy begins to bolt, you know, he just said, well, I'm going to cream you, you blah, 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 he's lost the game. Because when you get angry, you begin to throw punches in anger, you're not effective, and the other guy just more, and then, boom, he's gone on the floor. You lose your temper, and the devil got you by the tail. He's walking around seeking who he can devour. Let's turn now to the Gospel of John chapter 7 to lay down some understanding here. Now, probably the most common thing is this, you know, that the husband will get after the wife will get after the husband, or the children will get after the parents, or the parents will get after the children. I mean, we are very skilled to make sure that when we leave at home, no one got the joy. You understand what I'm talking about? If somebody's happy, we say, what are you laughing about? What's so funny? I feel miserable. I want everybody to be miserable. Give me your joy. In John 7:7, we read this. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. The moment Jesus came into this world, the devil attacked. And we read about how every child 2 years and under down in Bethlehem were killed because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse number 13, we read this. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear record of yourself, your record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, do I bear record of myself, yet my record is true? For I know whence I came, and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come, and whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for not alone, but I and the Father have sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one to bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Then said unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me, nor my Father. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid his hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. If we drop down in this chapter, we find the following. That's John 8. I want to drop down now to verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. If I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have seen Abraham. Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself, and went out the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The leadership argued with Jesus, and the leadership wanted to kill Jesus. The world will hate each believer in Christ. This is the truth that each Christian should understand and accept. John 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we look it up in verse number 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Let's read it again. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Who is the world? What is the world? The devil, the fallen angels, and all ungodly people. That's the world. You will hear people in America particularly that when they swear, one of the most profound swear words they have is they say, Jesus Christ. I'm sure you heard that. When I hear that, I simply say, Wow, I didn't know you were a Christian. That really stops them. I said, You're calling upon my Lord. But there's something ingrained in unbelievers. They like to profane, abuse the name of Jesus. Have you noticed that? When you confront them with it, they get very uncomfortable. You just got to learn this. The world hates Jesus. Now, the Muslim says, Oh, we love Jesus. But he's only a prophet. The Jehovah's Witness, they simply lower Jesus to Michael the Archangel. The Mormons make him a brother of Satan. Jesus is God, and the world hates that. Verse 19, If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. Now, I want to share something with you. When I was in seminary, I worked in an engineering office part-time in Mill Valley. It was about four of us in the office plus the boss. And we had our dorm tables, our desks there. At that time, they had KGO. They were playing nothing but sex talk. And these guys were sex maniacs in the office. They had pornography all over the place. That's all they talked about all day long. So I started bringing in chick facts. And I arranged my table like an aircraft carrier where I had on this side about maybe 10 inches of chick facts. All different kinds. This is your life. And so on. I noticed this and they would go by and they got angry. What do you keep this garbage here for? It's good for you. I don't want you to push religion down my throat. I says, well, you're pushing your religion down my throat. I said, you turn that off, you know, and I can put this away. Well, they start turning it down. But I noticed this, I kept them, you know, my tracks would disappear. One by one, they were reading them. One day, we were making lot splits and so on. We had to make different maps. And they had a difficult client. It's a lady. And the boss said, John, you answer the phone today. If that lady calls you, tell her I am not here. I don't want to talk to her. I said, boss, I said, I work for you, but I won't lie for you. He just dropped his mind. I said, I'm not going to tell that lady you're not here when you're sitting around in front of me. He got red as a beet in his face. Don't answer the phone then. I said, okay, won't answer the phone. Now, he was an alcoholic. Probably about 4 or 5 months later, because they were testing me to see, you know, how I would hold up. And because when they were playing that radio, I would sit there and sing hymns, you know. Jesus loves me, this I know. So one day, the boss simply said this. He said, John, I want you to stay over. I want to talk to you after everybody left. I thought, okay, then I'm going to get fired. So everybody went home. He closed the door and he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, my marriage is falling apart. I need help. But in that office, this professional engineer, licensed engineer, broke down and cried. And I was able to minister to him, read the word, lead him to Christ, got him a Bible, and we became the best friends the last few months before I graduated. What I'm telling you is this. If you stand for the truth, they will attack you first. They will blast you. But they're testing you. And eventually when they see that you cannot be moved, you get respect. Respect in the spirit world and respect from human beings. Verse 19 now. If you were the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they would keep yours also. But all these things will they do it to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The condition thus is this. We are not going to be well received in the world. So you might want to get used to that. In John 16:33, we read the following. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's just understand this. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Expect persecution, ridicule, laughing at. It comes with a territory. Now, if you want to be a salesperson, you cannot have an inferiority complex. Because when you knock on doors, you're going to be knocking on 20 doors, and you've been rejected 19 times, and one time they will talk to you. You cannot be a salesperson if you have inferiority, if you feel insecure, and you don't feel good. You mean that first time they open a door and they simply say, get out of here. You're, I can't handle this. So salespeople have to be tough. What are we selling? We are selling Jesus Christ. Eternal life in heaven. We are selling salvation. This is why we are marketing salvation. We are salespeople. We are not going to be treated nice by most people. Jesus said, now you're going to have tribulation. But smile. Be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. And then in John 17, the Gospel of John 17, and I want to read my outline here. Jesus gave us a perfect definition. We are in the world, but not of the world. Regardless of this situation, we are to have joy. John 17, verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you gave me. They received them, and I am known surely that I came out from you. And they believe that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which have given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I want you to see verse 15 here. I pray not you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them for your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which have believed on me through the word. In verse 20, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which have believed on me through the word. That's for you and I. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus has sent us into the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And regardless of the situation, we are to have joy. Let's look at the power now that Jesus gave his apostles. In Matthew 10, some of you spots says, well, it's easy for you to say that you don't know my circumstances. Do you understand when my boss asked me to lie? That I did not know if he was going to fire me, because I knew he had a very hot temper. And he could have simply said, pack up your things and go. I risked being fired. You understand that? Did I need the money? Yes. That was my income. My wife was working, but I needed that income to go to school. I had to lay my job on the line. If you have fear, you're going to crumble. You got to learn to lay your life on the line, your job on the line, your finances on the line, everything. If you lose it, so be it, but that's what you have to be. If you have fear, you're not going to go anyplace, except you're going to be a ball they're going to kick around. Prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, he transferred his personal power and authority to his disciples. In Matthew 10, I'm going to read a few verses in here. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter you not, but go run to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, that was the commandment that Jesus gave to his apostles. You understand what now you think about, okay, when they were in Israel, you know, everybody was just going, praise God, hallelujah. Everybody was religious. Wrong. It was a hostile nation. The Romans occupied it. People were hostile. They did not love God. And why did Jesus give them this power? So that the unbelievers could see that they had spiritual power. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. Turn to Luke 9 now. The Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. Very few of us have the, let's say, been brave enough to pray for the sick. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. But in other words, don't take with you a large suitcase. And whatsoever house you enter in, there abide, and let us depart. And whoso will not receive you, when you go out to that city, shake out the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. If we now turn to Luke 10, the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. The same authority and instruction were also given to the 70 others. Have you read this? After these things, the Lord appointed on the 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And then we drop down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the Spirit is subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the Spirit is subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to give you power. Do we really exercise our spiritual power? I would say probably no. You know, we talk, we are Christians. We sing our songs. We pray our prayers. We have our meetings. Let me try to illustrate this for you. Let's look at the college. And you got these college students there that are going through classes learning skills. What would you say if you would walk up and you would ask these college students, how long have you been in college? 25 years. What have you learned in 25 years? We got our songs we sing. We got our tests we take. We go and exercise. We have a little fun around, you know. But I never lifted a hand. I never done anything with my education. But I'm learning a lot. Would you say, boy, what a college. No, you would say, what a nut house. They should have been out there in 4 years. They should be working by them. This is what we do in Christianity. We study and study and study. We sing, sing, sing. We pray, pray, pray. And then we go home and lay down. I said, Lord, thank you for today. But we don't do the work. Why don't we do the work? Unbelief. You see, there's unbelief. And it's simple this. Well, you know, I know this guy is sick. But I don't know if I pray for him, God might not heal him. And if he's not healed, I'm not going to feel too good. You know, pride. Like somebody said, if you don't do nothing, you can't be criticized. Right? You always have people, there are those that make things happen, then there are those that are watching, and then there are those that are criticizing. You ask a criticizer, can you do the job? Oh, no, I can't do that. I'm just here to criticize. That's my job. Now, when I was younger, Baptist preacher, I preached everything except, but I never prayed for the sick. And then one day, you know, I just read and told the Spirit, said, it's time for you to pray for the sick. But I said, Lord, what about if they don't get healed? Pray for the next one. What about my reputation? You don't have one anyway. Now, I never forget that day. It was a tent meeting, large tent meeting overseas in Sweden. And I got up one evening and I said, they had an announcement. I said, now, I'm going to pray for the sick tomorrow. Bring them on. Bring them down. And then I went home and I said, oh, God, now I'm really had it. I said, Lord, I want some colds, headaches, stuff I can pray for that no one can notice. Easy stuff. My first case was a woman. They had braced four vertebrae together with a steel brace about an inch wide on the back. That was the first case I got. And you heard me speak about this. I just share briefly with you. I said, okay. All right, Lord. All right. Here's the oil. I read the scriptures. Anoint that with oil. I said, here's the oil. Now, I begin to pray. And I thank God. And I said, amen. I looked up. The woman looked like still in pain. I said, next. She moved on the side. So it was just a blur for me the rest of the night. So the next morning, I got a call from this woman. And she said, Pastor John, after you prayed for me, I am worse. My pain has increased. It's more worse. She said, what do I do? I said, well, what do I do? Get a taxi, come on down. And we were staying with my wife and me, and I had another couple with four of us. She came down. We spent 2-3 hours with her. I taught her figure out every curse possible. We taught her figure everything out, try to cover everything. Get the oil again. Get that oil. Anoint her. Pray. Plead. God, please heal this woman. Amen. She still had pain. Lots of it. I said, well, that's all we can do for you. So she went home. And I said, okay, that's my healing ministry. It's to stop right here. So I went on and preached the next night. Woman was not there. Following night, she was in the front row. I said, she's going to get up and tell me what a lousy preacher I am. Got testimony time. She came swinging up, dancing up. And she said, I want to testify that God has healed me. Now, standing over here, and I go like, oh, my, you heal her? Praise God. And then she said this. She said, after I've been down to those four people, I went home. I was in terrible pain all day. And during the night, I was awoken. I was lifted up about 2 feet over the bed, just suspended in the air. And I could feel his hot iron go up and down my back, like this back and forth. And then the pain disappeared. I was laid down. And she said, I knew I was healed. I got up and she bent and she did all kind of things. And she said, God touched me. Why did God choose to do that? He wanted to show me this. John, you're not the healer I am. You just stand there and watch me do it. You give them the word and pray for them. I told that woman, I said, I want you to go and see a doctor. Have them x-ray you. So she went to the hospital. They x-rayed her. She was about 47 years old at that time. Total disability. And when they x-rayed her, the steel brace was gone. She had brand new disc between the vertebrae. And the back was totally healed. She lost the disability and she had to go to work. The paper wrote it up, and it's all in Swedish. But my wife got the paper in the scrapbook with her picture and everything else about this woman. Now, that was introduction to me to the power of God. I got excited after that. Not everyone we pray for got healed, depending on where people are. But you see, you got to put yourself out there, and you got to believe that what God said is true. Now look in Luke chapter 10 here. Who is he talking about? He simply said this, and I want you to see this. In verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things for the wise and prudent, and have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. God gives this truth to those who are simple-minded. Have faith. Don't try to analyze anything. Simply say, if God said it, I believe it, it settles it. Period. And you begin to walk in that faith. All things are delivered to me of the Father, and no man knows who the Son is, but the Father who the Father is, but the Son and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit now. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We want to look at a few verses there. I'm going to select some out. You can read the whole thing. But John 16. These things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. That's a verse to underline. See that verse? These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. The same year that we had that miracle, I was in a Baptist church in Sweden for about 1 week. The pastor was sick, so he was not there. His assistant was there. He was a communist. He really was a member of the Communist Party. And we had more miracles there than I've ever seen. And the last service, as people came to testify, crying, there was just tremendous move of God. The pastor got up and got the microphone and says, well, he said, I don't have any miracles in my ministry. I don't have all these different things. Understand, some of you folks got blessed this week. But you know what? But this guy don't have what I have. He said, I'm here every day. I'm faithful. Now, I could have easily been offended. You see that? I could have simply got offended and said, but you jerk, what's wrong with you? I said nothing. Later he wrote to the Baptist denomination in Sweden. He was a board member of them. And then he talked to them and said this, as long as I live, this John Terrell will never again come to Sweden. I'm going to make sure that every door is closed for him. What about only 2 years later, he was dead. So much for that. These things are spoken to you that you should not be offended. When you love people, you'll be offended. When you do good to people, they will offend you. They should put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think he does God's service. That's what the Muslims do. And these things will they do unto you? because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember what I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now go my way to him that sent me. None of you ask me whither you go, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter would not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to send to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Once Jesus had finished his job on this earth, there was to be a transfer of management from Jesus to the Holy Spirit. I want to share this story with you. And this is something that God used my wife in this particular incident. This goes back to about 1970 in Stockton, California. There was a man there that we have met, and his wife, they were good friends of ours. And he had a back problem. He owned a service station, and one day he got in front, his foot got in front of a truck, and his foot got crushed. And it was flat, like you have a duck foot. So he had one shoe was about that size wide, and the other was about like this. And he walked with a limp. He carried a gun. He's a tough guy. And he was my usher. First night we had a meeting, there was a black guy was going to come in, and he simply just patted his little weapon here, and he simply said, you know, if I were you, and for your health's sake, I would turn around and go home. So the guy didn't come in. I found out later. I said, you can't have that. I said, you can't carry a gun. I don't want to have gun-toting ushers. That's the wrong message. He smoked tremendously. And, you know, he was a mean guy. So about the second or third night we had a meeting, I and I was going to pray for some young ladies, but for a particular young lady, and she collapsed, and there was no pulse, no heart, nothing. It was just laid out on the floor. And we found out later, I think she had diabetes, too. So I was gone. Everybody else was gone. We were praying with other people, so he was there. Matter of fact, his name was Chester. I don't know if Chester's alive today or not. And so Chester got up, and he scooped up the girl, and he just laid her out. He was laying like this, holding her like this in the first row. And my wife and this other lady, they simply started to pray. And they had faith. And this is what we found out later. The power of God went through the young girl. She revived, hit Chester, and moved all over the body. He was just sitting there like this. And then he had to take his shoe off because God healed his foot. He had to actually drive home with one shoe off. Had to throw away all his shoes to buy new shoes. His back was healed. He didn't smoke anymore. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the next night we had a meeting, I noticed that he didn't smell smoke. So I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. He was shocked, and he gave his testimony. I want to share that story with you to show you this, that it's not me, it's not my wife, it's not the deacon or the elder, it is the power of God that works independent of us. And it will be released if you and I have faith to believe. Turn to the book of Acts, now chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And I want you to see this truth now. Here were the apostles, the 70 others. They had for more than 3 years healed the sick, cast out demons, done all these different things. But let me read now. It didn't matter that the Jesus disciples had been operating spiritual power for almost 3 years and seen many wonderful miracles. They also had to be transferred over to the management of the Holy Spirit. And we read this, I want to pick it up in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, that's Jesus, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which is he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, he asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. You shall be witness of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice here now that Jesus didn't say, now you're going to speak in tongues. You're going to have a nice time. He said, you shall receive what? Power. What do we need power for? To do the job. How many years have you been in college? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? When are you going to graduate? When are you going to go out and simply say, okay, let's take all this knowledge and apply it? This is what God wants. This is what he needs. On the day of Pentecost, which means 50 days after the Passover, the disciples, both men and women, were transferred over to the management of the third person of the Godhead. Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all transferred to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're one of these people, you know that you just simply got to have your daily devotion in front of your TV set. You ain't going to have too much power. You're going to stink before the Holy Ghost. If you sit in front of that television and you watch this show and that movie here and this and that, you know, you just get filthy down. Forget the power. You ain't have it. You got to walk with the Lord. You got to walk in holiness. Look at the outlines now. From that day of Pentecost forward, the procedure in the kingdom of God has been that a person must be born again, saved, baptized in water, and also receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn to verse number 32 in this chapter. Peter preaching, this Jesus God raised up, whereof we all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and sent to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that's a good place for you and I to be today. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? then preach unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't have the Holy Ghost unless you're saved. For the promise unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you many other words that he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Let me be honest with you right now. Let's be brutal honest. Most Christians simply say this: I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I go to church from time to time, but don't expect me to be a participant. I'm a watcher. I watch. Some of you be criticizers. Then there are some that are doers. You have to make up your mind if you're going to be active or simply stay in college for another 30 years. And learn and learn and learn and do nothing. We got a sign when you go out if you got that door down there. You are not entering your mission field. This is like a service station. This is a gas station. This is where we meet to worship God, to get our tanks filled up, and to go out and hit the world. Not to go out and say, oh, well, man, I got Monday coming, another 6 days, you know. Then you come to church, you know, and get pumped up again, you know, a little bit, praise God, hallelujah, Lord, after the word. That's how most Christians are. No wonder nothing is happening. In Acts 10, I want to show you something exciting. There's some people got baptized in the Holy Spirit after they get saved. And we're right here from verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they had a circumcision, those are the Jews, which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard us speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tear certain days. I had a privilege of giving my life to Christ in 1965. There was a time of revival and awakening in America at that time. I had a privilege of getting in on the ground floor with a full gospel businessman before they got corrupted. I had a privilege to be with full gospel businessmen over in Europe. We were there on our crusades when they had airlifts. And I met men. They were millionaires. These were men that were corporation officers. They were directors. They were owners, businessmen. They were well off. And they had been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were so excited that they something their business. They let the Holy Ghost run their business, and they could only think about the next airlift when they could go overseas someplace, or the next meeting where they could pray and minister to people. These were exciting times. Most of these guys are either dead, or they're gone some other place. There needs to be a new generation coming up of excited people. That simply says, I want to be used by God. I'm tired of being in college all my life. I want to be a doer. This is a challenge today. If you go back and look at the front page here. How to live victorious in a hostile world. Well, you don't live victorious in a hostile world by simply being offended and sitting on your duff all the time. You got to be a doer. You can become fearless and say in the name of Jesus, I can have the power of God. I'm going to close with this scripture today from the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. We read it many times. I want to read it again. Chapter 16. Mark 16. Jesus said in verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, he shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Is it fun doing God's work? Yes. It's not work. It's a joy. It's not a drag. It's wonderful to see the power of God coming down, to see people saved, marriages put together, sick people healed, relationships restored. It's a joy to see that. The Holy Spirit is speaking to many of you here today and simply saying, I want you to move into and be active in God's kingdom. I want to activate you. I want the gifts to move in you. There's a price. You got to surrender and you got to give up a garbage life. There's no way you can sit and drink booze, smoke that cigarette, pop that thing, whatever it is, watch the sewer pour out over you with your television, and then says, well, I'm going to serve God. No, you got to go and surrender and leave the world and walk with Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the many wonderful years you've given me. Father God, when I think back about all the good times I've had, Lord, the many meetings, prayer time, healings, deliverances, Lord. My wife and I, we had a good life, Father God. Father, I want to thank you and praise you. And I pray, Father God, that today you will touch some younger people here, Lord. Some middle-aged people, some people maybe even my own age, that would simply say, I want to be part of that. I want to have that kind of life. God, you're not a respecter of persons. You will give your Holy Spirit to whosoever will surrender. Whosoever will surrender, you will give the Holy Spirit. You will baptize them. And I pray not only for the people of the church here today, Father God, but I pray for those listening by audio. Maybe 15, 20 years from now, they're listening to this. That the same power shall be there. That the Holy Spirit should just fill them. First of all, save them and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Oh God, stir up a fire today. Stir up a fire today, Lord. And this I ask in Jesus' name. I want you to remain standing, please. This is how we're going to do today. You see those chairs over here on my right side, your left side. That's our prayer altar. If God has been speaking to you and saying, maybe he's calling you, you want to surrender, but you just want to talk to God, you don't want to have anyone to talk to you. You just go over there and kneel in front of those chairs and talk to God, and the Holy Ghost will meet you up there. Amen. If God's called you to the ministry, we're going to have the elders and deacons here, and they have the oil. You come on up here. And simply says, well, God has called me to be activated in the kingdom of God. Pray for me that I'll have the power. I want to get out of college. I want to graduate today. You come as God has been speaking to you. The altars are open. The Holy Spirit is here. It's between him and you.
Hello there. You might have some questions regarding Christianity and what makes a person a Christian. How do you get right with God? And how do you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to say will help you in making the most important decision of your life. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone, including you, has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here's the good news. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you could have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you're a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or even earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and know that you're a sinner, realize that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God, now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." You see, if you call out to God and confess your sins to Him, He will forgive you. Remember, what Jesus has done in the past, He will do in the future. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. What He has done for one person, He will do for another. God doesn't favor anybody over you, nor will He look down upon you because of what you have done in your life. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. If you've been listening to me and feel that God is calling you, repent of your sins and call out to Jesus. You might not ever get another chance. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, a decision that will affect you for eternity. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. If you realize that you cannot measure up to God's perfect standard, and that you have sin in your life, and that you want your sins to be forgiven, why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me my sins. I turn from my sins now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thus you are saved not because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It does not have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and your understanding of the Bible. Find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and to support you. Be sure that they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Also, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with someone else. Please contact us and share the good news. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Christ. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was entitled Part 1, The Power of God, in the series, How to Live Victorious in a Hostile World. It is available on CD or cassette, and when ordering, ask for CD or cassette number RLJ1031, entitled Part 1, The Power of God. Again, that is CD or cassette number RLJ1031, entitled Part 1, The Power of God. To learn more about Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, we invite you to visit us on the web at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. A copy of today's message can also be obtained by writing to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 41001, Sacramento, California, 95841. That's Post Office Box 41001, Sacramento, California, 95841. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. If you live outside the United States, call us at 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. Until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.